We are attempting to wrap it up, the pathway to freedom. This is lesson number 6. Our first lesson was learning to be led. The second lesson was understanding righteousness. The third one was seeing the unseen. The fourth one was your perspective is your reality. And last week was solid ground. Last week in review, we talked about why would Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, allow what's going on, this shaking that's happening in the natural and in the supernatural realm right now. We asked, could God be using this time as a wake-up call for the world to look out to him, to go to him, and for believers to return to their first love? We asked, why does it take storms in our lives to get our attention? Why is it the toughest times that humble people to seek God's help? We ask the question, why does going through the desert seem to get people's attention more than hanging out in the green pastures? I make the statement that God is always good. God is not, he may not deliver us out of the situation, but he will always use the situation for our good. We looked at the scriptures and we saw that whoever builds their church, their home, their life on the solid rock is capable of overcoming whatever storm it is. Here's the deal, he laid it out to us. We have the choice. We can build our lives on the rock or we can build our lives on the sand. And every one of us qualify to be able to build our lives on the rock. We also saw that God's goodness won't allow us to get to a place that we can't return. We may find ourselves in the lion's den, but God is so good that he'll close the mouths of the lions. We saw that God won't keep us from stepping in and returning to his love, his call, and what he has for us. God won't keep us from obeying him. You know, we talked about the word and the necessity of you and I obeying the word of God, the necessity of you and I taking God at his word and understanding how valuable the word is. And that brings us to this week. The pathway to freedom requires obedience. Obedience is a must. The pathway to freedom is obedience. Come with me to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Where you guys going?
Romans chapter 15,
verse 4. Get off. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And introducing today's message, freedom requires the responsibility of obedience. God has designed the scriptures in such a way to give you and I object lessons from history that teach us, that instruct us, that encourages us to persevere and to always have hope. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. So the word of God is for us to learn from. The word of God is for us to pull from. That's what we're going to do this morning. That we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Do we need hope today? Does the world need hope today? Dear God, absolutely. In looking for examples and what it takes to get on the pathway to freedom, let's look at the children of Israel. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. The children of Israel came out of slavery in Egypt. They traveled through the wilderness and they eventually ended up and lived in the promised land of Canaan. What a great pattern for the new covenant believer today. These Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Egypt represents the worldly system of bondage. They had been born in Egypt, and they were powerless to deliver themselves. Being trapped as slaves, they called out for God's help. God answered them. God visited a man in a burning bush. There was a supernatural encounter that triggered the deliverance of God's people. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrow, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." All the ites were represented. Verse 9 says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." Verse 10 says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now, their deliverance was an absolute supernatural work of Almighty God. What they needed, what had to happen, was God had to intervene in order for the Israelites to be set free. That was an absolute must. The reason why it's such a good picture for us today is because when we were lost in sin, we were bound. We were enslaved to sin. And the only way that you and I could ever get out of sin was to cry out to God, have a supernatural encounter that would cause freedom to flow on our behalf. We need to take a look at this example. You see, there's a difference. When we were born again, we were born from above by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was His love, it was His amazing grace that caused you and I to be able to walk in freedom. Now, what we're going to look at today is that there is a difference between deliverance and freedom. And if we're not mindful of that, we could think that deliverance is enough. But what is required for you and I to live a life of fruitfulness is for you and I to be made free. God's amazing grace and His power is at work on our behalf. Let's look at this. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. When Israel left Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea onto dry ground. They stood on the far side of the Red Sea. They looked behind and they saw Pharaoh and his army drown. Now, Miriam, who was Moses' sister, Moses and Aaron's sister, began to rejoice. She grabbed her tambourine out. Her and the ladies got to singing and dancing, and they celebrated deliverance. Let's go there. Exodus 15, 19. Did I tell y'all Ephesians or Exodus? Okay, Exodus 15, 19. "For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and the horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea." Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the tremble in her hand, and all the women went out after her with trembles and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider has thrown into the sea." Now, they were delivered, and it was right for them to celebrate, but What was God's plan for them? His plan was for them to go to Canaan. Canaan was the promised land, not the other side of the Red Sea. You see, they had to go beyond the River Jordan and then to their destination. It's possible for children of God to get to the place where they make it in. They're delivered. They got their badge of honor. I've been delivered. And they settle for not being set free. That's not God's plan. That's not God's order. What we have to know and understand is it's not God's order for you and I to be addicted to anything. It's not God's order for you and I to be struggling with anything. Anxiety, depression, insomnia, that is not of God. And you could think, well, I'm saved, Freddie. I'm good. I'm saved. No, you have the right to be free. Amen. You have the right to be made whole. You have the right to walk in victory. God's plan for you and I is to make it to the promised land, to receive all that he has for us. Don't stop short of the promises that God, Jesus died for you and I to have life and to have it more abundantly. Look at your neighbor and say, you deserve abundant life. Those of you who are watching online, there is somebody who is struggling with depression. You tuned in today and it was not an accident. You're going to be free today. You're going to be set free today because the word of God, you're going to see in the word of God that it's right for you to be free. It's right for you to be whole. Family, don't settle another day for dealing with stuff. Don't settle another day. Don't allow your mindset to be, well, at least I'm going to go to heaven. At least I made it out of the world. That's not God's plan for you. God has so much more in store for you and I. Family, if we don't desire this, you got to understand the devil will make sure we never get it. He'll make sure we don't walk into freedom if we don't desire it. It starts with you and I having a real desire. You guys heard the term, you got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to get to that point. You got to get to the point where I don't want to be addicted. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be dealing with this. If there is a disease, a sickness that is attached to your life, that is wrong. Amen. Jesus died so that you and I could be absolutely free. Family, deliverance is not freedom. It's not enough. And we're going to use God's children, the children of Israel, to see just how that works. When you're delivered from sin, thank God. It's right to rejoice. But go on from there. People who have been delivered but don't see, and we see a lot of this, unfortunately, all across the world. People who are delivered and don't see spiritual growth or spiritual success are people who have settled with just being delivered. That's not right. That is not of God. And here's the thing, God, and this is why we're using this example. God attempted for 40 years to get his people. For 40 years, he attempted them to get their mindsets to change. Do you realize it was an 11-day journey? If they would have just followed God's plan, it would have took them 11 days. And what we read is totally different from that. It took them 40 years to get there. And this is the sad part. They lost an entire generation. An entire generation was lost because they went around and around and around. And family, we're facing the same situation right now. There is an entire generation that's like, God, maybe. I think there's a God. I don't know. I expect I'll go to heaven. There's an entire generation that's choosing something else. There's an entire generation that don't know for sure if they're going to heaven. And here's the thing, their friends certainly don't know. Family, that's not right. We have an opportunity to do something about it. Can we be honest? True or not true? Is there a generational gap between the things of God? How many of you remember when going to church was just what we did? I remember that was just, you just went, that's what you did. Being kind is just what you did. Looking people in the eyes and loving them and treating them right, it's just what you did. There's an entire generation that's not doing that. That don't even know to do that. And that's sad. That is not God's order. They're thinking, people who, see, the issue is people are delivered and stuck and not even pursuing the things of God. And that's not right. It's not, you should not be the minority. You're the one serving God on your job, in your house, in your neighborhood. That you should not be, it should not be a isolated incident for you to have a praise break at work. Delivered, but stuck. Family, God wants us to leave behind the guilt, the shame, the stinking thinking of Egypt. He wants us to get out of that mindset, because you know what held them back? You know why it took 40 years? Because they liked the leeks and the garlic that they had back in slavery. They held on to what was. They held on to the past. They held on to, well, at least we got food all the time. At least we were provided for, but you were slaves. God wants so much more for us. God wants so much more. He wants you and I to tap into all, you know, one of my constant prayers is, Dad, I don't want to just see in the spirit realm. I want to function in the spirit realm. I want to do business in the spirit realm. I want to handle daddy's business in the spirit realm. It's not enough to get a glimpse every now and then. It's not enough to get a goosebump or a hot flash or a hallelujah every now and then. That's not enough. How about we begin to see blind eyes open and deaf ears open on a regular? How about the dead raised on a regular? How about this is what we do? We walk in the hospital and people start getting healed because of the power of God on the inside of us. Here's the thing, we have to believe like that. We have to expect that. We have to desire that. It's possible. It's absolutely, look at your neighbor and say, it's possible. Those of you viewing online, it is possible. Do you still believe? The pathway to freedom is obedience. I have no idea where I'm at. I'm right here. Okay, I'm back. The wilderness experience is designed to get every form of Egypt out of us. I skipped a whole session. It's all right, I'm gonna roll with it. Here's a part that none of us wanna hear. A part of our journey includes the wilderness. That's not good. That's like, oh Lord Jesus, I gotta go through something. Do you realize the children of Israel were delivered to the wilderness? On the other side of the Red Sea was their wilderness experience. None of us are exempt from going through a wilderness season in our lives. And I know we won't jump and shout on that truth, but here's the thing. We got a great example of how to get through the wilderness. That's what we're going to look at now. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. How do we get through the wilderness? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. family, nobody is exempt from going through the wilderness. Jesus was born a virgin, born of a virgin. He was born a virgin too, though. Jesus was born of a virgin, born under law. He was born, Jesus was a part of a nation that was actually slaves under the oppressive Roman Empire at the time. In Matthew 5:41, at the age of 30, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was anointed as the Christ. Jesus was a man who came as we are now. It wasn't until he was anointed as the Christ that he began to do the things we celebrate him for. The first thing that the Holy Spirit did after Jesus was anointed the Christ was he led him where? He led him to the wilderness. Let's go there. Some of y'all don't believe me. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Here's the thing. The wilderness came before his ministry. The test always comes before the trust. Matthew 4, 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Where was he led up to? Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2 says, and when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. First test. If you are who you say you are, I know you're in a weakened state. I know you're struggling with your appetite right now. Do something about it. If you are a child of God, why don't you make this happen? How did Jesus respond? Jesus said in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is the word of God important? Verse 5, test number 2. Then Jesus took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Again. If you are who you say you are, jump off. The word said, isn't that interesting? Devil start quoting the word. Then the angel's gonna get you. What do you have, Jesus? What do you have to lose? Jump off. How did he respond? Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, Jesus did take it up a notch. Now he's telling Satan that he's his Lord. Now he's speaking forth his identity. Have you noticed the attacks come audibly? You notice when we're alone with our thoughts is the time when the devil shows up and says, well, if you're a child of God, why is that happening to you? You say you're a child of God, but why? I know what you're thinking. If you're a child of God, why would you think that? If you're a child of God, why don't you do this? Notice where the attacks come from. Notice how they come. You know, a lot of us begin to take on those thoughts as they're our own. And we start feeling like, man, I thought I was better than that. Man. You know, maybe I'm not saved. Man, maybe it's too hard to do this Jesus thing. And we take it on ourselves, and we start identifying with the lying voice of the devil. Third test. Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him out an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Verse 9 says, "And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Now, he took Jesus off. Now Jesus said, "Get away from me, punk!" Satan, he had enough after the third attempt. Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan." Then he called him out, "Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And what the devil do? The devil left, and the answer came. The devil left, and the angels came and ministered to him. Now, I submit to you, if Jesus would have given in to any one of those attacks, the devil would have had him. How many of us don't make it through the test? How many of us get to the point, well, maybe you're right, and we fall into depression, we fall into worry, we fall into, you know, I'm not who I thought I was. How many of us get to the second test and we hear the devil's voice and we confuse it as being our own? These basic tests that Jesus was confronted with, every one of us will be confronted with. Every one of us will have to make it through these wilderness tests. The first test is the test of appetites. This test will show us if we have food habits or sexual appetites under control or not. The second test is the test of power. This test will show us if we will try to manipulate God's power for our own purpose, to try to prove something. The third test is a test of pride. This test will show if we're yielded to God or looking good for people. Will we get stuck in trying to boast for somebody else? It will do all of us well to pay attention to the way Jesus handled every test in the wilderness. Every single time, his response didn't change. He got a little more fired up every time. But what he used to gain victory over the certain attack that you and I will be facing was the word. It is written. And listen to me, family. Whatever is going on in your life, the answer is written. It's available. There are no new tricks that the devil has. He is not coming up. He is not even creative. He is a copycat. He's not coming up with new material to trip us up. The eternal word of God is still the answer. The word of God is the solid anchor. It's what Jesus used for his mind, for his heart, his thoughts, and his confession. Family, you and I have to take this pattern and do the same thing. We have to allow the word of God to penetrate our mind. We have to allow the word of God to penetrate our hearts. And most importantly, in times that we are living in, we have to let the word of God impact our confession. What are you saying in response to what's going on? Are you speaking hope, life, joy, peace? Or are you speaking confusion, damnation? It's important. Our confession will either fuel the devil or fuel the Holy Spirit. Think about that for a second. Think about who are you adding to in your life? Think about a tug of war. Whose side are you getting on to pull? Family, whatever you do, guard your heart and guard your mouth. Don't allow your words to add to the enemy's attacks against you. Jesus made it through the test and was trusted with the power. Ministers of the gospel, I know you long for the power. Don't try to take a shortcut. The test is necessary to be trusted with the power. Those of you who are watching online, there is somebody who's been going through the same cycle over and over again. You gotta pass the test. Then you'll be trusted with the power. Jesus gave us a great example. When Jesus left the wilderness, it was in power and victory. The Holy Spirit was fully engulfed around him and his ministry, and he went forth as a king proclaiming his kingdom on earth. Family, that's the answer. The answer is staying our course, getting through the test, and be trusted with the power so you can establish the kingdom of God wherever you are, whatever you do, wherever you, your sphere of influence, establish the kingdom of God. Deliverance is instant. Freedom is a process. The process is what produces wholeness. Raise your hand if you want to be whole. We have to all go through the process because that's true freedom. Wholeness is true freedom. Free in your spirit, soul, and body. For you and I to enjoy true freedom, the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, it is essential that we have a mind transformation. In order to have our minds renewed, renovated, and updated, it requires you and I trusting God above all else. It's going to require old memory files and viruses to be removed and replaced with the Word of God. You know, it's a compliment to say you look just like your dad, or you sound like your dad, or you just like your mom, unless they weren't a woman or a man of God. You know, you and I should be accused of looking like our daddy. We should be accused of sounding like our dad. We should be accused of doing, you heal just like Jesus. You talk just like Jesus. You go away when you need to rest just like Jesus. Accuse us of being like him, not like our earthly parents, unless they are like Jesus. For you and I to enjoy true freedom, we have to yield to, submit to, and surrender our lives to the Word of God. Obedience is required. Look at your neighbor and say, obedience is required. It's required. Look at somebody else and say, obedience is required. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We're going to look at verses 2 and 3. True renewal of our mind is a 180-degree turn in the direction of our thinking. Romans 12, 2, verses 2 through 3. Let's read that together. It's on the screen. If you prefer to find it in your own, you can still do that. For those of you who are ready, it's on the screen. Ready? Read. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let's look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. True renewal, true renewal of our minds is 180 degrees in our thinking. Changing to think from above and not beneath. You know, the best way to check our location is, what are your first words? When something takes place, what is your first word? What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? That is a really good indicator of what's in our heart. And if it's only four-letter words, get into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to expand our panic vocabulary. Allow the Word of God to fuel our lives, to turn our ships in the direction that our Maker is calling us to. That's your challenge for the week. What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you hear news? When you hear of something that's a crisis or a tragedy or shocking, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Begin to pay attention. And if you need to change it, 180 degree rules, begin to do just that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Changing to thinking from above and not from beneath. Colossians 1:3-1 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things where? Things of God. Not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." That's where we are now. Only obeying God makes faith even possible. Obeying God unlocks the promises of God in our lives. The reason why the pathway to freedom is obedience is because that's the only way to ignite faith in our lives. That's the only way to please God. That's the only way to walk across the bridge to our destination. Think about this. Food can never benefit you if you don't eat it. That's not profound at all, is it? It's a very simple statement. Food can't benefit you unless you eat it. How many people are feeding on the Word of God? Well, there could be a feast in front of us. There could be, I'm reminded of a story as illustration that I heard years ago. There's a man on his knees, starving to death, and he's crying out, "Lord, help me. Lord, I need food. I need nutrition. Lord, if I can just get a bite of an apple or banana. Lord, I'm dying. Lord, help me." And there's a table. There's a feast set before him, and he's laying on the ground in front of the table that's full of food, and he's crying out to God, "Help me. Lord, I need you. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm weak, Lord. I need more. I can't concentrate, Lord. I need more. Lord, I'm getting dizzy, Lord." And all the food he needs is right before him. Family, everything you need is in the Word of God. There is nothing in your life that can't be handled by the Word of God. And we're crying out to God, "God, I need this in my life. God, I don't know why this is going on to me." And God is like, "It's there, son. God, I'm getting dizzy. I don't know if I can keep the, Lord, I don't know if I can keep." The answer is in the Word. I've already provided the solution. We need a word revolution to take place in America. We need people to get back to the Word of God. Stop calling your girlfriend first. Stop calling your boyfriend first. Stop calling your neighbor, your mom, your dad. Why don't you call on Jesus first? Why can't we get back to Jesus? Let Jesus be our panic button. Let Jesus be our red phone. Let Jesus be the first solution, the first response to every issue that shows up in our lives. That don't even sound right to some of y'all. Like, what? Why would I do that? My sister right here. The answer is in the Word of God. Every answer is in the Word of God. You know, it's impossible to please God without faith, and faith is only demonstrated by obedience. If Peter didn't obey the word come, even though Jesus is who Jesus is, there would have never been faith demonstrated. He had to obey the word come. Hebrews 11:6 talks about it's impossible to please God. This kind of faith comes only by hearing and appropriating the word of God. In order for water walking faith to take place, Peter had to hear and appropriate the response. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The source of faith and pleasing God is and will always be his word. Nothing but living, active word of God can reveal and illuminate our destiny. Only the word of God can cause us to divide and discern what's really going on inside of us. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that why it's essential for our mental health that we read, study, meditate, and ponder on the word of God. The word of God is the only thing that can be the anchor for our soul to make it through turbulent times. Only the word of God is enough to anchor us. We can get off into emotions easily, and we pick up the anchor and we're subject to go whichever way the wind blows. Family, anchor your life, your trust, your hope on the word of God. Somebody say amen to that. Grab hold of that. Make that yours. Make that decision right now. I'm gonna anchor my life on the word of God. I'm gonna cause the word of God to be the anchor for my soul. That's when we're able to confidently face and overcome life's testings and trials. That's when we can boldly confess it is written, when we make the word of God our anchor. Proverbs 23:7 says, for a person thinks as a person thinks, so are they in their heart. Let's wrap this up. How do we do this? In application, how do we live in the promised land? Everybody have your notes? How do we live in the promised land? Those of you watching online, there should be notes available for you there as well. If you don't have an actual hard copy, the notes are on the app. So let's look at that together. Number one says what? Obey the word of God. This is how you and I live in the promised land. First and foremost, we have to obey the word of God. It's in Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, you can be willing. You can have all the want to you need, but if you're not obedient, you don't get to eat the good of the land. When the children of Israel finally made it out of the wilderness into the promised land, God gave Joshua, the generation that grabbed hold of the promise, words to live by. He said that I will be with you. He told him to be strong and courageous. The reason why he told Joshua to be strong and courageous was because he was going to have an opportunity to see his humanity, his ability to be weak. He had to make a decision to keep going. He had to choose courage. Disobedience always leads to bondage. Disobedience always leads to low self-esteem, frustration, fear, dysfunction, rage, violence, and self-gratification. Disobedience will always take you and I down the wrong path. Number two says what? Meditate on God's word. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9 is the proof text to that statement. Meditate. Let's read that. Meditate on God's word. Joshua 1, 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. God kept a promise to the obedient. Think about that for a moment. The ones who enjoyed the promise of their forefathers were the ones who obeyed. Do you realize Moses didn't make it into the promised land? All the work did. Think for a moment, paint the picture of how we see Moses. Moses was a bad dude. Moses didn't make it to the promised land. Can we rely on works? Can we rely on all we've done and expect to make it to the promised land? No, the generation that walked into Canaan and began to feast off the land that flowed with milk and honey were the obedient. Think about for a moment, allow your mind to wrap around that. Moses didn't make it. Why didn't Moses make it? He disobeyed. He got upset. Tore that rock up with his staff. And he didn't make it. Does obedience matter? A whole generation. How will this generation that we're praying for make it? Obedience. It's the only way. The pathway to freedom requires obedience. Number three says what? Renew your mind. God told this new generation, Joshua's generations, to change the way you're thinking. Stop going in circles. It should have took your forefathers 11 days. Straighten up, look where you're going, and get there. Those of you who are here and who are watching online, you young people must change your thinking. You must not allow the entire generation to miss out on God's plan and God's provision. Think a new way. Number four says what? Claim your inheritance. Proof text of that is Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 11. Our promised land is the kingdom of God. Jesus set it all up. When he said it is finished, he meant it. Do you realize you already have everything you need? It's already prepared for you. The kingdom of God lacks nothing. Our promised land as believers is the kingdom of God. Jesus did the work by way of the cross, and you and I can enter in to everything that he died for. There is nothing that we have to work for because it's already done. Number five is what? Walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Stop paying attention to everything you're seeing, because it will steal your faith. Have you noticed that it's opposite? He says, walk by faith, not by sight. Sight will always take us away from faith. Family, don't spend your life gathering visuals and images and chasing after them, because it'll steal your faith. Knowing that Jesus has already done it all, we have the responsibility to walk it out by faith. Living in the land of the kingdom means that there will be giants and enemies and a whole bunch of a list of tights that we have to overcome, but we can overcome them boldly, knowing that the land is promised to us. The kingdom of God, kingdom living, is promised to us. Last but not least, number six says what?
Choose freedom.
It will always be a choice. God is not going to force happiness on you. He's not going to jump on you and take his thumbs and make your mouth smile. It will always be a choice. Let's read this last scripture together. John chapter 8 and verse 31. We're going to go all the way through 36. I shouldn't say all the way through like that. Y'all get sleepy when I say it like that. All the way through. We're only going to read John 31 through 36. Ready? And this is a New American. You guys have that? Ready? Read. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let's keep reading. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say this? You will become free." 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever." So the son, you will be free indeed. Choose freedom. Freedom is not the cancellation of responsibility. You and I will always have a role to play in walking in our freedom. You've heard it said before, freedom is not free. Freedom is willingly doing the word of God. Freedom is not avoiding responsibility for our choices or behaviors. Freedom makes us accountable to the word of God. You know, there's an opportunity for you and I to shift our thinking, our mindset. There are so many people that are content with being delivered and not free, because nobody holds you accountable to being free. The majority celebrates the deliverance. Just like Miriam, she had her tremble. What do we call it now? Tambourine. She had her tambourine, was doing her thing. It was dancing, and that would be right, because they never knew what the promised land looked like. Mary didn't make the promised land either. Aaron didn't make the promised land. What I want to do now is pray. And if there's any shifting of our minds that need to be made, let's make them. You know, the word of God doesn't come forth for the sake of coming forth. When the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks to instruct. He speaks to come and do kingdom business. There are adjustments that the Holy Spirit comes to make. And there is somebody present that hasn't put a lot of value on that shift, because deliverance has happened. So shouldn't that be enough? Well, the Spirit of God would say to you, "I have so much more for you, my child. I have joy and peace. It's available if you choose me over the situations or the circumstance. If you choose me over the hurt, over the pain. The love that I have for you is great and more than enough to take you through what you've been through, to take you beyond the position you are in now, to take you beyond the pain. You will not have to live with that pain for the rest of your life. You've been told that. That's not a lie. That is not of me. You're here today to be set absolutely free. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for ministering hope. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody watching online, you've been desperate to be delivered. And God's best for you is beyond deliverance. You can be free today. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. If you are in need of prayer, if you want us to pray with you, I'm asking you to come forward as a sign of your faith and expectation to be set free, to step across into your promised land, the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name forever. Thank you, Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to people right now. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. If you're spirit filled with the evidence of praying in other tongues, begin to just pray in other tongues right where you are. Thank you, Lord. God desires to set someone free today. There's been so much pain. You've gone through so much. You need to understand that that was not God's desire. That was not God's doing. God's desire is for you to be whole, healed, and walk in absolute freedom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Reni masikle semra vera si so kopa sala kele te sombro mosie. Ola mahangele beto se de eloro noramasi ege si shera roboso. Breni mo komba la vasi ki shete solo. Ola alidis. Ari isi kokra san e shere de boro madavasie. Ola mahangengli doso de lo sol. Vin anamosikli da sali da den. Sali ala dengle sito soro mong rabaka se de shie. On e ke sito robosike. Eno no non sita sanda la kiri. Iro lo si braba sanda kadere sike. Ero no mo shivere sito robasa. On ne a ke siko sanda la dana. Respond to me, and I will absolutely set you free. You've struggled, you've held on, you didn't realize that it could still be taken care of. It's been years you've buried it. It hurts to think about it, to remember. The reason why you're here today is to hear me say your freedom is at hand. Respond to me. Place a demand on the anointing. What was spoken has been for you to bring you through, to cause you to walk in absolute victory. You don't believe it because you haven't seen it. Well, let me show you. Let me allow you to be the example for others to see. It's possible. Respond. Receive and walk in victory, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.